Code Winds, Episode 13, Reflections of JSConf 2014, Part 2. Welcome to the Code Winds podcast, where we cover leading-edge web developer news and training with an emphasis on Node, JavaScript, and HTML5. My name is Jeff Barczewski, and I'm here to help you navigate the winds of change. In this episode, Kevin Old joins me to continue our reflections on JSConf 2014 and to highlight some of our favorite talks from the conference. Most of the videos from JSConf are now available on YouTube, so if something sounds interesting, you can find them there. The links and show notes for this podcast are available at codewinds.com/13, as in episode 13. I'd like to welcome back to the show my friend Kevin Old. Kevin is a full-stack developer from Nashville, Tennessee, who's been helping with the planning for the first NodeConf in Nashville called Nodevember. Welcome, Kevin.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So things have been getting ready for Nodevember. Since we last talked, we've got, some of the talks have been announced and some of the names are going up. So you want to give us a short update on what you know about things in that world?
Certainly. We've announced our speakers, and we have a great lineup. Dan Shaw, Derek Bailey will be speaking, and we have a great lineup of talks. We're working a NodeBot event into the mix as well, and more details will be provided as we update the site. But we still have early bird tickets, but they're going fast, so make sure to get to Nodevember.org.
Yeah, so get over to Nodevember.org, and I think it's November 15, 16, Saturday, Sunday. It's a very inexpensive conference for the value there. I mean, some of the speakers I've saw in there look really, really good. And actually, I was happy to announce that I got selected as well to speak. My title for my talk is going to be Ready for Battle: Hardening Node.js for the Enterprise. So I'm going to give some reflection. Thank you. Reflections on things I've learned at Elsevier and now MasterCard, and how we've been using Node, and hopefully share some good best practices and things there and help people out as far as using it in the enterprise.
So certainly looking forward to it. One other item to add is that Nodevember is a full stack or a full conference with not only Node but front end topics as well. So we have a wide range of talks that run the full JavaScript stack.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think that's a good mix, since more and more of these apps that we build these days use both. So it's mm-hmm. it's great to have that and to cross over and have both sides. So that's really good. So sure. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that in November. So definitely check out Nodevember.org and get your tickets now before they're sold out. So this is this recording is part two of our Reflections of JavaScript JSConf 2014, and wanted to continue our look back at JSConf and some of the things that we learned and experienced, as well as to highlight some of the talks and some of the things, just a amazing lineup of speakers, and it's just a who's who list of people that are there that you can meet each day. And so Kevin and I wanted to go back and kind of walk through some of the talks that were there at JSConf, and then a lot of the videos are up now. So so that will once you hear about some of these talks, you can go and watch them yourself and listen to the speakers. So I guess without further ado, let's jump into it, Kevin.
Awesome.
So I think when we left off with part one, we had just finished our day one of talks, and so then the typical JSConf style is to include some activities in the middle there. So, Kevin, what did you do for your activities today?
I ended up with the Node bots. Okay, I learned a great deal. In our conference bag, we had, as you know, the Spark Core kit that allowed you to play with robotics and sensors in kind of a friendly atmosphere. So Raquel Velez, Rick Waldron, and their team hosted the NodeBots event, and it was an amazing day. I remember being intimidated going in because I didn't know anything about hardware, and quickly, within an hour, I was having the time of my life playing with sensors and reading the temperature. And something as trivial as that, doing it via JavaScript and you know, with the asynchronous nature that that you have with JavaScript, and the, you know, the possibilities just started to go wild in my mind. But, you know, it's an interesting time we have where we have all the abilities of the networks that we have with the web, you know, that network that just spans forever, and the mashing that up with hardware, and the ability to control something in relatively real time. It's very interesting when you put programmers in that atmosphere. So,
yeah, it really is, and it is something to see people kind of like come alive again, like a little kid or something, you know, when they're doing these types of things. You know, kind of brings back those old memories of building something, you know, as a kid. Of course, you know, back in the day, it probably wasn't anything as fancy. It was, you know, maybe some Legos or something or whatever, you know. But this nowadays, you know, you putting these things together, and you get controls, and you got drones, and you got, you know, this they added a whole bunch of node rocket boats events this year. So there was NodeBots was with the one you were at, so that was kind of like real hardware, you know. And did you I think you guys built as part of this, you were learning how to put it all together with these kits, but then also did you build something to compete against each other?
Some people did. I did not. I chose to play around with literally the temperature sensor, and I used one other sensor. I don't remember what that was because it's not on my breadboard at the moment. So I simply lost track of it. When you rebuild that thing, you quickly find out with hardware that once you take it apart, then it's apart. So if you don't take a picture of it, then, you know, if you don't have a good memory, then you don't know how to put it back, or if you're new to things. But there was they did build node bots that were like a sumo bot or a soccer bot kind of robot. And there was a soccer event at the end of the day with a ping pong ball.
Okay.
And I had full intentions of doing that, but I didn't get my parts in time, and they had a limited supply of parts. So once they were gone, they were gone.
Yeah.
So,
I think, Brad Proctor, one of our friends, was in that. I think he did well in that soccer game. I think there was some video of that, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he did. He and I worked together that day. So I was playing with the temperature sensor, and he was building his NodeBot. And so it was awesome to kind of be in the middle of it, but not be as hands on. He was building it, so I could see something come alive from nothing. But it wasn't, you know, I was kind of a part of it, you know, but from afar. So
yeah, cool. Well, that's good.
It turned out really well, and I was surprised at how quickly it came together watching him build that. So.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot to do, you know, especially in a period of a day. But yeah, it's amazing what you can do these days. And I guess, you know, kind of the whole thing that's kind of neat about this is, you know, in the old days, you would have had to use C++ and, you know, these hard to use SDKs, and now you can just fire up, you know, Node with JavaScript and you know, start interacting with electronics. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, certainly. All of our interactions with the NodeBot was primarily done through Johnny Five. And at the event, we did get exposure to CylonJS, which I believe they did sponsor some of JSConf. And that event, they had a huge presence. We were at the table right next to them, and they have an amazing set of libraries that are for all forms of this new robotic hardware and these microcontrollers. So definitely check out CylonJS. I believe it's just .com.
Yeah.
Just Google it. It certainly is helping to push that abstraction a little bit forward, because a lot of this stuff, you just like you're saying, you do have to go very low level. But Johnny Five and the like, they seem to add that abstraction that just lets you focus on getting familiar with the hardware. And then as you need to go deeper, you can certainly find the source for all of these on GitHub and then inspect it from there. So
yeah,
but it definitely limits the intimidation.
Yeah,
just getting started.
And there was a, I believe there was a talk on the day before that is out there. The video should be out there for JSConf, so definitely check that out, because it was amazing to see how quickly you could hook different types of hardware up with, you know, very little config and get things right. going. So yeah, so we had rockets, we had boats, we had this node bots, we had copters. Let's see. I guess then there was, and I guess like the boats and stuff, they tested them out on the pool. So
they certainly did. We didn't make it over there to that, but right outside, as soon as node bots was ending, they were launching the rockets right outside of the conference center. And wow,
yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it was an amazing thing to see, and they essentially used a pressurized PVC to help launch the bot, okay. or the rocket. And the idea was that when it reached a certain altitude, there would be a parachute to deploy.
Okay.
And it would safely float down to Earth.
Okay.
There were some successful, and there were not so some successful. So sure. There were some crashes and. And there were some that went perfect. So it was very neat to see that put together.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, and I was actually they had poolside and beachside stuff, and then I was participating in the golf tournament again this year. I did that last year. It was great. And so yeah, we had a lot of developers out there on the course, and and it was just a wonderful day. And NodeSource sponsored that event.
Yes. Thank you, NodeSource.
Yeah, thank you.
It's an awesome day that they do at this conference, because it gives you've got enough to talk about after a day, and then you're put in situations where it's not as pressurized, and you're not, and you're also not as just, I'll use the word vulnerable or exposed in a hallway with strangers. You're able to create conversations and have conversations that you likewise wouldn't have. With all the events, so they, it's, you know, they add the social aspect in the middle of the conference that that really adds to the value, in my opinion.
Yeah, that and all the things and all the dinners and the evenings and all that kind of stuff, and the, you know, lunch and breakfast, everything, all those things are, you know, opportunities to network and to meet people, and it is just, it feels so comfortable. It feels like family. It feels, you know, everybody's, there's a lot of similar interests. You know, it's just it's a great thing. But yeah, there's so many activities. I mean, they have the Segway tour, scavenger hunt, kayaking down the Amelia River.
Right.
Just, you know, just whatever, you know, anything you could want to do, you can kind of find it there. So
the scavenger hunt showed up in the NodeBot event, and they needed to, it's funny how they intertwine the events, because the scavenger hunt each year, they've come into whatever event I was in, and they needed a picture with, you know, certain number of people programming X-Bots, and they need to have bots in the picture or something like that. So they take great care in JSConf planning to intertwine the events so that you get a chuckle out of it. So
yeah. So jumping in then to the next day, and getting into our talks again, the first talk was kicked off by Guy Bedford in the Houston track. It was the primary track, and Guy introduced System.js and JSPM.io, which is, so this is great. This is an awesome new framework as well, or to load JavaScript modules. Specifically, it's using the ES6 module loader style, and he's actually backported it, so it'll work, you know, today with today's browsers. And the neat thing about this is it can load anything. I mean, it can load AMD style, it can load CommonJS, it can load ES6, and you know, it's kind of in a future-proofed way. And he's got both the dynamic loading as well as you know, bundling. So if you want to bundle for performance, and I mean, I was just blown away, and you know, of what he's got in there. And you know, and you can start using this today. And the nice thing is once all the, you know, the vendors, you know, once they support the ES6 natively, then, you know, a good chunk of that code or most of it goes away, you know. And so then you're working native off the browser. So this is really exciting to me. I think this is he really took a hard look at the different approaches and tried to take the pros from all the different approaches and get rid of some of the negative. Everybody likes the dynamic loading, of require.js and AMD, but they don't like the configuration, and the setup. And then you go to the opposite side with Browserify, it's almost no configuration, but, you got to have a build step. And so he kind of married both of those things and kind of, did both. And I think it's a really good approach, to that. What was your thoughts on seeing that?
I think this is definitely something to watch going forward because, like you said, it works today and it's going to work in the future. So I think that right there is, it's going to give legacy products the ability to, whereas if they don't have if they're not using require.js right now, maybe they want to. If they don't have any of that, maybe this can be a step that gets them there, and it does it in a way that is, looking to the future with the ES6 style, right? So, and just like you said, you can remove that if needed. So, and then of course, those projects that have one or the other, they can adopt this, use JSPM and be at least set up for the future. So, I think it's and it's extremely interesting how he showed the demo of adding a package and that utility, I guess, is just it's awesome. I mean, if you need jQuery, you just install jQuery, right? It's really I can't say enough good things about the talk because it gives us that future that we want, and it gives it to us now. Yeah. So and I'm excited to see what ideas will come out of this when someone else plays with it in their project and is able to give feedback. Also, the other thing is he's very open to feedback and wants us to use it now. So that's very encouraging that he's not necessarily the benevolent dictator over the idea. He has simply put forth his best efforts and wants feedback and is willing to get the community involved.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I got to interview Guy, and actually we put that out in episode 8, and he was just a genuine person, really he put a lot of effort into this and a lot of thought and wanted it to be a future-proof type thing because he'd gotten burned before where he had implemented something and people moved on and so it was really forward-thinking, and I just think it's a great thing. The other thing I was kind of neat about the JSPM is kind of the package manager, the hosted package manager side of things. He's got this loader, and he's also got this registry type thing, JSPM. And what's neat about that is he's already using kind of some of the new technologies with Speedy, with server push, and those kinds of things. Because when HTTP2 and that comes out, and it's going to have the ability to push things to you. And so, like, for instance, if you request, to load Backbone or something, and then it needs other things, the server can know that, and it can start to send that to you automatically as part of the first request. And then you can indicate, the browser can say, no, I already have that or something, and it can cancel, and rather than waiting and, for multiple requests and have to go back and, get some more and back and forth, it can actually, initiate things, to start knowing that you're going to probably need these things. And then, and then you can say, no, I already have that or whatever. And so the HTTP2 is exciting, but that kind of changes our whole stack again, except that, guys already kind of, trying to do the best thing, for both. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you mentioned, loading requirements, so it's kind of what we have right now with Bower, to go, if you need, Backbone, it'll go and get underscore when loading that. And this is, another iteration on top of that concept, except so it's not part of your build process or part of your local source. This is happening real time. So.
Yeah. So what was your next talk that you found pretty compelling?
I thought the talk that was a couple ahead related to the modern mobile app tool chains by Jordan Mathiasen. I thought that was very relevant for our time right now. He talked about he works for Microsoft, and he talked about their use of mobile app tool chains, and they seem to be doing a lot of work with Cordova, which is the platform that PhoneGap is built off of. And I've been working with both of those, or with Cordova, and it's just setting us up for apps that are able to be developed for a site and then deployed for mobile to see if that works for them. There are a lot of times I hear that someone wants a mobile app, but what they actually need is just an icon that goes to a mobile site,
right?
Because they're not necessarily ready. And so the PhoneGap model, which he delved into pretty deeply with the Microsoft stack, it's very interesting to see that evolve and things be built on top of that.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of what's driving that is JavaScript. The Cordova stuff will give you JavaScript bindings to the camera and events that are on the phone and all of these platforms. So that really set a chord with me on that day, because it's becoming more relevant where you need something in between a mobile site and a full-blown app.
Yeah, I agree. The PhoneGap and Cordova and all those variety of those hybrid type HTML5, build on top of that to give you an app is just they're great, because we can continue to use JavaScript and HTML5 and CSS and all the things that we're used to, and then build it for all the different devices, so you don't have different sets of code, for all these different, for a lot of apps. You can get a long way with these technologies, and I think it's just increasing, as they add more and more functionality to that, and as things like as Google is working on a service worker, once you get stuff like that added into to HTML to the browsers and that, then it's just even going to be more amazing of what a native app or what a HTML5 app can do on a browser. It'll feel native. I mean, it can do installed, installed type things. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah. And I mean, it also adds that same aspect I was talking about with the hardware, in that you've got all these web developers that are experienced with building applications for, larger, for the browser. And they're able to take their expertise and apply it to a smaller device now. And, of course, they're back and forth from going with a web to a phone, a web browser to a phone browser, and you certainly want to be aware of that. But this at least takes care of that that packaging that was only previously done by either an Android developer or an iOS specific. So that it boils it down into that code and adds that layer of abstraction that's not too far off.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it fits good. Yeah, so that's exciting stuff. Another talk that I thought was just, was really, really well done was Ryan Florence's talk, Ambular Acular Emberbone. Okay. And it was amazing because, these talks are short. I mean, they're 20 to 30 minutes, typically. I think the slot was for 20 minutes, but he went through and kind of compared Ember and AngularJS, Backbone, React, Polymer. I think that's all of them, but and it was great, and he he basically tried to show he showed code, and he showed kind of in the key areas of these frameworks and which ones delivered what kind of functionality they had, and he kind of left it up to you to determine which ones the best for you. But I mean, he basically gave a nice comparison within the period of 25 minutes or so.
Right. It was an amazing talk. I believe on the last episode, I got it confused with Mikhail Rogers' talk. They were both similar in breaking down a framework amongst all of the frameworks that were out there. But Ryan gave a very unbiased opinion of each of the frameworks. And, if the lines of code mattered to you, if the performance, et cetera, all of those. He had some great slides that went along with it. It was very entertaining because a lot of the points that he brought up, you don't necessarily think. I didn't think of all of them that he brought up. So it was nice to have kind of an unbiased presentation of everything that was out there.
Yeah.
Given that he is a heavy Ember fan, or a huge Ember fan, so a right. heavy user of Ember. So it was nice to see that style a presentation. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he admitted, you know, that he had done the most with Ember, and you know, after you know getting to know it, he knows the full scope of what it's capable of. But he was able to, you know, do a good job of showing, you know, the different frameworks, and even talking about how easy or hard it was for him to pick it up, you know, and those kinds of things.
Sure.
And you know, and one of the things, you know, he did talk about React at the end there. One of the things that, you know, he mentioned was React was typically, you know, primarily, you know, used for the Vue. And so that's where the primary focus was. But I guess after the talk, I don't know exactly, you know, the order of events, but since now he's really gotten involved in the React community. And he built a router for React, which is based, you know, kind of inspired by Ember. And so he kind of took the great functionality of the router in Ember and kind of brought it, made a module that works with React really well and kind of brings that functionality. So now if you add that together with React, you're starting to get a pretty compelling picture, you know, at least for several of the components. So that's pretty neat.
That's definitely something to watch. A lot of the frameworks are adding that some kind of layer to swap React out for their Vue layer. I know there's NG React for Angular, and the guys at Walmart Labs have a layer on top that they use for Backbone. So it's without a doubt, I think that this year we have learned that React has the Vue layer where we want it, and if we can have all the best of the React world and our framework of choice world, I think we're all going to be much happier, and then it's all going to turn out to be a better experience for the user.
Yeah,
with you know, performance and bindings, etc. So
exactly, yeah,
it's definitely something to watch. I'll keep my eye out for that.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. One of the next talks was actually Forrest Norval, and I had actually gotten to interview Forrest before the conference, released that as episode 7. And if you're new to the show, definitely check out Forrest's talk, the episode 7, and get the kind of the background before his talk. And it was also there's a video of it as well. So if you go to the CodeWin/7, you can get the video or the sound. But yeah, I thought he was very, I mean, it was just a great interview with him, sharing some of the behind the scenes of ES6 and the community. And I guess his point, you know, really with the talk was just encouraging us as a community to get involved and to try this stuff out and to figure out what we like and what we don't, you know, to find the good parts and adopt them now and teach people how to use them, you know. And if stuff isn't good, then we'll ignore it, you know. We just won't teach it, or we'll also give feedback and shape, you know, the language going forward and stuff. And so I thought it was really, you know, just a good leadership talk, you know, to inspire us to get involved and that we can actually make a difference, you know. These things aren't set in stone, you know, and we can, you know, influence the community. So
absolutely. I think that as a JavaScript developer throughout the years, I've always felt that the ECMAScript governing body has been unapproachable. And his talk helped bring that to down to a more social level that we as developers can approach them. It's not all just that you don't always have to know someone that works for a browser vendor to be able to influence change. You can... That there is a community of from this body, and they are open to ideas and suggestions from the community. I don't have anything specific to at the moment, but it's awesome to know that as I start playing with this and as I start implementing this in my own code bases, that I can reach out to that body and get feedback and offer feedback, and it'll be heard. So it's very encouraging. It was great to hear that from someone of his level. So
yeah, and you know, and just to elaborate on that, I know there's been Dominic DeNicola, has really been an advocate for Promises, and so he was able to really shape and improve the Promises implementation, I believe, based on the conversations with the ECMA committee. So, So this is definitely shaping things and helping things move forward, in the right direction. Definitely check out episode 7 and then follow it up and watch the Forrest's video where he goes into the details, about the ES6 and all that. So, another talk that I found really good was Spike Brehm's Building Isomorphic Apps, and he was really kind of talking about how we can use more and more code, client-side and server-side now. So we can use, there's ways to reuse code. That's always been kind of a holy grail. It's always been a little difficult, but it's getting more and more easier, with things like Browserify. Basically you can take a lot of NPM modules almost as is and run them in the browser. And so, it's just making our lives a lot easier as far as being able to use code, the same code server and client, things for validations, things for, and React. React runs on the server, can render on the server and then turn around and render on the client. So, it's these are great things. And Spike's talk really kind of elaborated on that. It was really good.
Yeah, this is certainly an area to watch. The example you had with React, it's going to be interesting to have, server-side generated JavaScript templates being, done. You've got a rendering engine on both sides of the pipe, right? So that that changes the game for a lot of things that we currently do right now, because you can even go as far as to say, well, I'll render this part on the server and send it down, and the other part it can complete down there, and mm-hmm. I don't know, it's a very interesting time we're in that we have, and with this this freedom that we're going to have that ability to share code. I'm very excited to, I have not used the same code on the front end and the back end, but I know that there's a day coming that I will, and it's going to be awesome to have that set of libraries that are shared.
Yeah. I mean, we at one of my past jobs, we were trying to do more and more of that, and that was difficult because especially using some of the previous tools, it was kind of hard to make that work, and there was a lot of hoops you had to jump through to make that work. But now it's getting easier and easier. The ability to take a common JS module and run it client or server, it doesn't get much easier than that. So, it's pretty good. So moving forward there, I saw, I'm not sure how to say her name, Bodil Stoke. I apologize to her if she hears this, cause I don't know how to say her name, but she had a great talk on building a game. Like, she did it live. And yeah. It was great. I mean, it was a reactive game. It's kind of a Mario type thing, Mario Brothers type a game that she just was putting together with HTML5, and she was just it was amazing. It's definitely a video, an entertaining video to watch, and to see what you can do in 30 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, it was a very entertaining talk. I have not done anything with game development, and it was just magic to watch her live code this, because I've not done any of that. So it was nice to see that all that could be done. And I know that there's plenty of advancement in the browser game industry. It's exciting. It was a really nice talk. So.
Yeah. Very, very neat. Cassandra Perch, spoke on modular application architectures, and I thought she did a good job of trying to, explain talk about the different sides of things as far as keeping things modular. You know, it's something that we've been really talking a lot about in the Node community, is keeping things focused and and all that. So she had a good talk on in describing that and mentioning some of the some of the lighter weight frameworks like Flyte and some of those things. And then I guess following it up, the last couple talks that for that day on the Houston track was there was one called Open Web Art, and Kawandeep Verdi was the presenter for that, and it was just, that was an amazing thing. It's almost one of those things, you know, JavaScript interactive collaborative art, and it was just inspiring. It's something to definitely, just if you wanted to be inspired, just take a look at that video, because it's just something to see how people can all across the world can interact in this open web art thing. So
yeah, it was nice to see his use of JavaScript as a medium. I'd never thought that a web or a language, a computer programming language, could be literally, or I could now think of it as a medium for art. Mm-hmm. And he had hardware, he had software. It was very interactive. The talk, his delivery of the talk was one of my favorite. I went up and talked to him after or throughout the evening after the conference was over. He's a very animated gentleman and very enthusiastic about the whole concept. And it came from the stage as well. I was really excited to hear the talk and just blown away by all of the different ideas and projects that he's executed on. It was a great talk.
Yeah, it was really good. And just, one of those things that you want to, after you've seen so many talks and so many good presentations, but then still to be inspired one more time, as far as with, something on the creative, artistic side of things, it was really good. And then, right. Yeah. And then Brian Brennan kind of finished up that track with a talk called Being Human. And I thought it was really just authentic, just a, he really talked about breaking down walls and how, we really should think about, where we've come from and how new people are coming to the, into our world now. And we need to just really be, open to them and welcome them in and remember that we were new at one point too, and just, it was just an authentic talk. I thought it was really, really good. So definitely something to listen to and makes you think twice about, where people are coming from sometimes.
Certainly. Yeah. I think a lot of the times in development, we miss that there's a human aspect to what we're doing. I won't go into any of the details of his talk, but I highly encourage everyone to listen to it, because it's something, it's very relevant now and in the past, and it will be in the future. You have to, treat people with respect and, be open to ideas that someone shares with you. It was a phenomenal end to the conference. I didn't think I could be blown away with just a general talk about being human, but I was proved wrong very quickly. So I highly urge everyone to listen to that talk. So.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a whole another set of talks that were in the Cape Canaveral track that we didn't even get to see. A lot of the videos are up for those, so definitely go check those out. I know there's some great titles. I was torn a lot of times about which place I was going to be at, because there were so many good talks to see. So definitely check out the schedule and the list. A lot of those are up on the on there. I'll put those links in the show notes as well. We finished off the conference, and then we had we did a group picture like they normally do, and this time we used a drone. So it was pretty neat to see that, how that the drone took multiple pictures, and then they're gonna put it together, I guess, with software. But it was pretty cool to see a drone flying back and forth, because it was such a large group. So it was neat to see that. But we had some more dinners and a brunch the next day, and it was just just a great conference, I think. What are your last thoughts on the conference there, Kevin?
I think it was just so fitting how they rolled us right into the evening and the following day to send everybody off. And I have tons of fond memories of the week, and highly encourage anyone, if you get a chance, to go, because it'll be an experience you won't forget. And it's not necessarily just around the JavaScript language, but with the people you meet and the different backgrounds that they come from, and just the entire experience. It's hard to bottle up, and you know, we can talk about it and reminisce for days, but until you go and experience it, it's hard to describe. So I look forward, last thought is, I certainly look forward to going next year, and I can't wait to be there. So
yeah, me too. It's something that I look forward to. You know, my first one was last year, and I hoping that I can make it, you know, every year if possible, because it's just something, and people come from, you know, all over the world to join in, and it's just it's something else to be a part of that and to meet all those people.
Without a doubt.
So I guess we come to the end of our episode today. Kevin, what would you like to plug?
I'd just like to reiterate Nodevember.org, the conference on November 15th and 16th in Nashville, Tennessee. Right now, tickets are, there are 9 tickets remaining for $100, but the later prices aren't very much higher. So definitely get your tickets.
I'm looking forward to that. So we'll both be there. So definitely get your tickets and join us in Nashville, Tennessee, November 15th and 16th, Saturday and Sunday, for some great JavaScript and Node talks. All right, Kevin, I appreciate you taking the time today, and it's been a great, great episode. I'm glad that we had the time to get together and talk about Reflections of JSConf.
Yes, thanks for having me.
I hope you've enjoyed Reflections of JSConf 2014 with my friend, Kevin Old. I would encourage you to check out some of the videos. The links and show notes are available at codewinds.com/13. If you would like to keep up on the latest in web developer news and training, follow me on codewinds.com, where I have a podcast, blog, and video training covering Node and JavaScript. Until next time, this is Jeff Barczewski with CodeWinds. Music by Audionautix.com.